Are we ready? I'd like to call the noon, March 2nd, Petersburg Borough Assembly meeting to order. And with that, would the clerk please call the roll?
Mayor Lynn?
Here.
Vice Mayor Stanton Gregor?
Here.
Member Martin? Member Mucci?
Jeff, you're muted, okay.
How about now?
You're good.
I'm here.
Mucci? Member Newman?
Here.
Member Schwartz?
Here.
Member Valentine?
Here.
Thank you.
Okay, we have a full assembly today with Member Mucci calling in on Zoom. With that, voluntary pledge of allegiance is next.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have one set of minutes here. The minutes from the February 17th, 2026 meetings will be included in the March 16th packet. So there are really no minutes. There's, do I have a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Moved by Member Stanton Gregor, second by Member Newman. Are there any amendments to the agenda?
I don't know if we need to amend it, but I'll have a little discussion item about some anti-hatchery Board of Fish proposal I might want to have us weigh in on next meeting.
We can put that under Assembly Member comments and
Great.
Go with it. Okay, thank you. Any other changes? With that, all those in favor of the agenda as it stands, say aye.
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 All right, moving on. Today there are no public hearings, there are no bid awards, and we're moved on to persons to be heard related to the day's agenda. Is there anybody in the audience that would like to talk to today's agenda as it is? Is there anybody on Zoom?
I don't see any hands raised.
I'll move on then to persons related to be heard unrelated to the day's agenda. Again, is there anybody in the audience that would like to talk to items unrelated to today's agenda? Okay, seeing and hearing none. Is there anybody on Zoom?
No, there's no one.
Okay, thank you. I'll move on. Board, commission, committee reports today. There are none. There are nothing under consent agenda, and that moves us on to reports of other officers. First item under that is a briefing from Petersburg Medical Center, and I believe Mr. Hofstetter is here to do that. Thank you.
Hi, good afternoon. Phil Hofstetter, Petersburg Medical Center CEO. Submitted my report, and a couple updates may not be in there, but are worth highlighting. One is we are happy to report that we have our colonoscopy and scope clinic reoccurring. Our first one occurred a few weeks ago, and our next clinic is occurring on a rotation every 2 or 3 months, and next one will be in April. So very excited to have that happening at PMC. We have optometry here this week, and later on this, also in April, we'll see about scheduling dermatology. So still working on increasing our access to care, and especially our specialty care. Health fair is on March 14th, and so I've been talking about that, and our staff have been talking about that on KFSK, and it's on Facebook as well. So it'd be great to have an opportunity to be there. And leading up to that, we have our discounted lab draws for the community. And so this week is our last week for that. That's March 3rd to the 5th. We already have over 400 people that have had their labs drawn. So it's pretty significant. Thirdly, I have rural health transformation funds. The letters of interest, the portal is now open. So we have until March 11th to submit our letters of interest. So we're working on that with our strategy and grants. And we have about 7 projects that we're going to be submitting for. And more information as that comes to fruition. We don't have information on budget or amounts per allocation or any of that kind of stuff, but we'll be reporting back on that. Our CON, our certificate of need was the hearing was completed. I think I reported that last time. We're still waiting on the response from the state. So they have up till 60 days to respond. So we're kind of on pins and needles until then. And that's all I had.
Any questions for Mr. Hofstadter? Okay, thank you, Phil. Appreciate it. Moving on to the Petersburg School District, and I think Superintendent Taylor has a report.
All right, well, good morning, afternoon. I'm Robin Taylor, the superintendent for the school district. Just a few things. I wanted first and foremost to say thank you to both the borough and the state and our school district facilities guys for getting the area cleaned up and ready to go. By 7:30 this morning, we were ready for students to arrive. So that was nice. And it was that fine line of, do we do a delayed start or not? So I appreciate the responsiveness from all entities last night as we were talking back and forth, trying to make that determination. Then next week, Samson Electric does plan to be on site to start looking at the actual work that they'll be doing this summer on our campus security upgrades project. So they're starting to get going on that. And I want to thank the borough for meeting with our school board last week to talk about finances and other things like all of the work that has to happen in the district or the recommended scope of work. But just a reminder to folks out there, we've launched a new tool, software tool called the Balancing Act. It is live online. You can just go to the district's website into the finance department to see that tool. And it gives you an opportunity to provide feedback to the district on how to best balance our budget next year. Right now we are looking at a roughly $280,000 deficit that we'll have to balance in some manner. And so this is a way for the community at large to give us that input on whether we make reductions or if we pull it out of our fund, reserve fund account. And the final thing I just wanted to say is good luck to our Petersburg High School teams as they are heading off to regionals this week. We sent the basketball teams out on the plane today just as a safety to get them out there a few days early, knowing the status of our flights lately. So we wanted to get them out, and then I think our cheer team and band might be taken off tomorrow. So that's all I have.
Is there any questions? Okay, thank you, Rowan. Appreciate that. Moving on, we have a report also from District Ranger Case from the Forest Service. Gary, you've got the floor.
All right. Thanks, good afternoon. We are revising our forest plan, and so the notice of intent was published, which begins a 30-day comment period. So that comment period is open currently, and it ends on March 20th. So I don't know if the Assembly has questions on that. I'm not working directly on that, but I could field some questions at probably not here, but and get some answers for y'all if you had them or were wondering how that process works. There is a community workshop scheduled for April 23rd here in the Assembly Chambers, so there'll be more information coming from that. But that's another chance to hear about the plan, ask questions, and provide input. The cabin at Woodpecker on the Woodpecker Road System is finished with design, and it'll be heading to contract this summer, so we're excited about that. And the West Point cabin is going to be closed starting in March. It has some significant structural work that needs to be done. We were able to get a contract secured finally for that. So starting in March, we're going to have to turn back reservations. We're notifying folks. We're hoping that will be done in early summer, but we're not sure yet. It kind of depends on how fast the contractor moves along, but just a heads up for the public, that cabin is gonna be having some work done, which is gonna extend its lifespan by quite a bit. So we're excited to have that happen, but we know it's an inconvenience to folks that it will be closed for a period of time this spring and into early summer. We do have a blading contract. So for roads, doing some road work on Metcalf Island starting in June. So that's good because we know our roads need it. So we're excited to have that in place, and I just wanted to let the public know we are aware that the Tonka Road System has some significant issues All the water that's coming off the hillside is causing some issues, and we are aware of that. And we still haven't gotten our full budget yet. So once we do, we'll have to make some decisions on road work, see how much money we have, but just wanted to let folks know we are aware of that. So that's it.
Thank you. Any questions for Ranger Case? No. Thank you, Carrie. Appreciate it. Last item under reported by other officers is the BDO audit report. And with that, I'm going to turn that over to our finance director to introduce folks and go from there.
Hi, yeah, it looks like we have George Barker on Zoom and Vicki Shrestha, and they will be just going over the audit for the next 10 minutes or so. All right.
Okay.
All right. Good afternoon, everyone. I just want to make sure everybody can hear me first.
We can hear you. If you could turn that up, we'd appreciate it.
Okay. All right. And then I am able to share my screen over here. I think the share button is here, so I'm just going to start with that. All right, first of all, my name is Vicki Shrestha, and I am the assurance partner in charge of your audit. And with me over here is also George, any questions and stuff that might, I see he's the manager on the job. Let me just make sure I'm sharing the right thing over here, just a second. Sorry, I just need a second over here.
No. And Vicki, I did print off wrap-ups schedules everyone for the assembly as well. So they all have this, what you're showing on the screen.
So do you see the overview and status of the audit on the screen now too?
Yes, we do.
Okay, perfect. I just want to make sure I was sharing the right files. All right, so first of all, I'd just like to start by thanking Jody and everybody at Petersburg Borough that helps us get to the audit. It's a big undertaking. Your financial statements are pretty thick, and it takes a while for us to get through the work. And then we request a lot of samples throughout the process. And then we do also do lots of inquiries with different individuals within the department. It just adds extra burden to all your staff, but everything, they provide everything in a timely manner. And I just wanted to just start by thanking everybody there. Now we go to the status of the audit. As you can see here, we have completed our audit of the financial statements, and our audit was subject to government auditing standards because you get federal and state funding and you are subject to federal and state compliance requirements. The first bullet point here, the objective of our audit was to obtain reasonable, not absolute, assurance about whether the financial statements are free from material misstatement. Just to point that out, is an audit is not designed to look at each and everything that goes through the statements. We look at material amounts, we look at compliance requirements that are material to your entity. We also focus on a risk assessment process by which we will we design our procedures to focus more on those risks. The third very important bullet point right here, we have issued an unmodified or a clean opinion on our financial statements, and the report was printed on February 10, 2026. Your federal and state programs too, we did issue an unmodified opinion on your federal and state single audit. And then the last bullet point here, all records and information requested by BDO was fully available for inspection throughout the whole process. The next, some of the significant risks that we focus on, because you do have some super users in your organization, we always look at any IT changes or anything like that. We always have a risk we have to focus on for management override whenever there are journal entries or if there are things done outside of your normal operating internal control process, we focus on those transactions. And then your grant revenue, we always have to focus more on the grant revenue just because there's more scrutiny over those amounts. As far as corrected and uncorrected misstatements, we do list out some corrected misstatements, but those are just part of the service we provide related to pension related entries that we help the borrower with. So that was the corrected item. As far as uncorrected, there is a small uncorrected misstatement related to leases. The borrower has chosen not to book the liability for leases, but the amount is really small and does not really affect the financial statement any other material way. Next slide is internal control over financial reporting. As part of our audit, we just don't go look at the numbers. We start by getting an understanding of the financial reporting process and the controls surrounding it. And when we get that understanding, if we notice any issues, we list them right here into one of the three buckets defined over here, a control deficiency, a significant deficiency, or material weakness. Any items that we deem to be significant deficiencies or material weakness that we think could affect your financial statements, those would be presented in writing to the assembly. In your case, it would also be a finding in the financial statements, and we have none of those to report. We did have one control deficiency that it's been carrying over just because of the size of the organization, the size of the borrower and the team over there. But as I said before, this is something that we focus our time on, just looking at some of the entries that's made and no further issues associated with that. Now, the next slide is internal control over compliance requirements. As part of our audit, we also look at your controls around your compliance requirements that we have to audit every year. There is a process that we have to go through to figure out which programs we need to audit for federal programs, because you get over $750,000 of federal funding. That amount is going up in 2026 for the next fiscal year. The threshold does go up to $1 million instead of $750,000. We still expect to have a federal single audit for next year too. So as part of that process, if we notice any issues similar to how I described earlier, we would report anything that we consider to be material weaknesses or significant deficiencies, and those would be also presented as findings in the financial statements. And then if we noticed any instances of non-compliance with laws and regulations, those would also be reported as part of the internal control over compliance reporting, and we have none of those to report for the year. Other significant accounting policies and practices, if there were any major change in your accounting policies and practices, then we would list it out here. There's no major change over here this year. For 2026, the one major GASB pronouncement that could have had an effect on the statements is related to your GASB 101 for sick leave. So if there was significant sick leave liability, then those would be presented in the financials this year. For the school district, for example, which is presented as a component, they did have a pretty large chunk that they had to book in as an adjustment because of the change in accounting principles, but no such the pronouncement didn't have an effect on the borough's financials. Going forward to next year, there are some new accounting pronouncements that's coming into play. The major one being GASB 103 related to your financial statements presentation. So there may be some changes in the way some of the items in your financial statements are presented in 2006 and going forward after that. And one other accounting estimate that I would just like to talk to the assembly about every year is your pension liabilities and OPEB assets. Please note that those information is obtained are obtained directly from the State of Alaska Division of Retirement. There's a separate audit done by other auditors related to those amounts and how those amounts are allocated, and that information is booked in your financial statements during the year based on that audit. Other required communication, if we had any significant disagreements with management or other significant issues that arise during the audit, those would be listed here, but we don't have any of that to report. So that's a brief overview of the financial audit. After that, I was just gonna do a brief summary of some of the highlights of for 2025. The first statement here is Exhibit A1. This is your statement of net position. This is basically your balance sheet for the year. This statement has all of your assets, all of your liabilities, everything that you owe, and the difference between your assets and liabilities is your net position. One thing I always like to point out is the borough reports, since it reports as a government, so they use what's called a modified accrual basis of accounting. So what that means is for your budgeting and majority of your financial reporting throughout the year, you focus on current resources. So current liabilities, current assets are reported, but long-term assets and liabilities are not presented in your trial balances. So these statements over here do include those long-term assets and liabilities, especially for your governmental activities. Your business type activities report on a full accrual, so those statements already includes your long-term assets and liabilities. So in your case, for the governmental activities, this adds your capital assets, your pension liability, your OPEB assets. Those are the main categories that gets added in this statement. Your total assets at the end of 2025 was $71.9 million, almost $72 million for the governmental activities. Majority of that was in your capital assets of $38 million and your land and construction in progress of about $6.9 million. The other big category over there in your assets is your cash and investments, which was at $24.7 million. For your business type activities, $88.8 million of assets. Out of that, $59 million and another $6 million or so is your capital assets. And then $14.8 million was your cash and investment during the year. As far as your liabilities go, majority of your liabilities for both your business type and governmental activities is related to your bonds and loans payable, and then your pension liability at the end of the year. The pension liability was $5.1 million for the governmental activities and $4.2 million for your business type activities. Your loans and your bonds total about $4 million for your governmental activities and $12 million for your business type activities. This leaves you with $60 million, almost $59.3 million in net position for your governmental activities and $69.7 million for your business type activities. Now, when you go to your governmental funds, just to point this out, your total, the financial statements are presented to present all of your major funds. So basically there's a calculation that has to be done every year depending on if fund reaches basically 10% of your assets liabilities, your revenue or expenditures, then those are presented as major funds. All the rest of your funds are presented as non-major funds over here. And there is a schedule in the supplementary information of the financial statements that has a breakout of everything that adds up to the items that's listed in non-major over here. Your total assets for your fund level statements, where these guys, like I said, do not have long-term assets and liabilities. So total assets are $23 million for the governmental funds. 7.9 of that is in your general fund. Your liabilities of $2.5 million, leaving you with your fund balance of $20.4 million at the end of 2025, and then $7.4 million of that is unassigned. And then for your, just a brief overview, brief overview of your revenues for the year for your governmental activities. Your revenues was $14.6 million. Majority of that is your sales tax revenue of $4.2 million, property tax revenue of $3.8 million, and intergovernmental revenue of $3.2 million. Your total expenditures for the year was $14.2 million. And at the end of the year, your net change in fund balance was $1.7 million. And then a brief overview of your business type activity, revenue and expenses. So your business type activities are all listed in pages C1 through C4. And then total revenues for your business type activities was $14.8 million. Total expenses of 17.7, just resulting in including all your investment income and some of your other expenses, your total losses for the year was $2.3 million. And then you did have some capital contributions and then transfers in from the governmental activities of $1,089,000 for the year. So that's a brief overview of the financial statements itself. Any questions for me or Jody?
Any questions from the assembly? Hearing none, go ahead, please.
So that's really what I have for my presentation today.
Any questions? Jody, do you have anything to add?
No.
Okay.
Thank you.
We appreciate the presentation.
Right. Thank you very much.
Okay. I'm going to move on then to the last item under the report of other officers. The last item is the emergency operations plan update, and I think Mr. Hankins has a presentation there to make.
At this time, I wasn't prepared to actually present on it. Just note the fact that the Public Safety Advisory Board did receive a presentation from a potential vendor related to the importance of updating that plan and to go over a presentation that we had done 2024, I think, about the what's wrong with plan, what we need to update in it, et cetera, et cetera. I can't provide a presentation on it, but I was not prepared to do it. I just wanted to note that, hey, this is going to be an upcoming budget request. And that in my fiscal year 27 budget, to give advance notice, and that they supported the expenditure. So that's all I was aiming to do at this time.
Great, thank you. Questions right now from the assembly? Okay, hearing none, thank you. I'll move on here to the mayor's report on this, and it's very, very short this go around. We have, with the assembly held a work session with the school board on February 26th, and I think it was a pretty good session. Two items we talked about. One was that the superintendent has put together what I will consider a very detailed plan on their facilities. And then they went through a process with the board of showing what the real needs were and prioritized those. And then they took a further up step on it, and they showed in that plan what can be done internally, but then what has to be gone, be done or have participation in either the borough or the state. And I had a chance then, actually this weekend, to talk to a couple of the representatives in the state. I think that plan will really help put our school district in a very competitive, very competitive to the other districts in the state for whatever money is available for maintenance of schools. And moving on from that, we have, I'm seeking letters of interest for interest from citizens to serve the community as planning commissioner until October 2026 municipal election. Letters of interest should be submitted to the clerk at the borough offices located at 12 South Thordick Drive by sending the to P.O. Box 329 Petersburg AK 99833 or by emailing to bregula@petersburgak.gov. And with that, I'll move it to the manager's report.
Thank you, sir. Liz and Glow had the opportunity to meet with the newly assigned build project manager and federal team for the Scow Bay project last week. The team is reviewing the project funding requirements and will populate a draft agreement that will outline the scope of the project, schedule, and budget that will get finalized and obligate the funds for construction. Library passport service hours have expanded to 9 to 4 Monday through Friday, and we're looking for a part-time library clerk. Upcoming programs at the library include Lego Club, Baby Raven Reads, Rainforest Writers, Yoga with Karen, presentations on heat pumps, and a Petersburg Science Series presentation on landslides. McMillan Inc., the borough's consultant who recently completed the dam breach study on Crystal Lake Dam, has completed the analysis and report based upon much more accurate topographical information and advanced computer modeling. The consultant has determined that a flood from the dam break at Crystal Lake will not be as catastrophic as was modeled in 1985. McMillan has shown that there's virtually no risk of loss of life at the hatchery or at the homes of hatchery employees. Further, with the existing dam breach alarms in place, there's ample time for residents and employees to evacuate the area before peak flood waters arrive. Power and Light has forwarded the report and data to FERC with a letter requesting a review and reduction in the potential hazard classification from high to low. Factory acceptance testing for the Scow Bay No. 2 step-up transformer took place on February 23rd to the 26th at the vendor's factory in India. Power and Light's inspector provided daily interim reports, and a final report of the overall testing effort is expected soon. Power and Light recently had an Alltech mechanic come to town for some warranty work on the line trucks, and our staff continues to train a new operator on the diesel power plant and hydro operations. Dawson Construction achieved 65% design on the Scow Bay No. 2 generator project in February and will have a 65% cost estimate by mid-March. Power and Light has received a good level of interest in the Main Street lighting project and looks forward to the bid opening on March 6th. Power and Light has submitted the first project for DOE approval under the Tribal Grid Resiliency Grant Program and is awaiting for federal approvals. The project will focus on completing the local AMI metering deployment in Petersburg. Thanks to the Petersburg Indian Association for working with the borough on this grant. Power and Light is also developing a set of dashboard metrics to share with the community, including system health, capacity usage trends, and heating degree data to help illustrate various impacts on the average customer's bill. We expect some or all of this information to be available on our website in the near future. We will welcome feedback or suggestions from the Assembly and the public when the information is publicly available. Welcome to new permanent employee, Devrin Guthrie, who has been hired as a laborer in the streets crew. And the motor pool foreman has begun training our new mechanic trainee in motor pool operations and preventative maintenance procedures. We are reactively recruiting a sanitation operator. No experience is required. CDL and training are provided, and see the borough website for additional information. Progress continues at the pump station 4. Engineers from P&D and Morris Engineering completed a site visit with pump and control inspections on February 17th. Staff recently improved the pumps at the Cabin Creek Pump Station with help from Madigan Electric, and Laura Holder was hired for our open dispatch corrections position. Chief Kerr conducted a question and answer session with First Bank regarding fraud prevention and awareness, And the PD wanted to let folks know we've seen a rise in some minor vehicle accidents due to the snowfall. PD wants to remind drivers to exercise caution when out and about. Assisted living has recently filled multiple positions, including cook, custodian, and resident assistant. We are currently advertising for a second employee supervisor and an on-call resident and on-call resident assistants. Assisted living is enjoying the lively addition of four new residents and welcomes all friends, family members, and volunteers to brighten our days. Elderly Housing's cooler and freezer project is currently underway, with Apex Refrigeration starting to methodically disassemble and store the refrigeration panels. And the Volunteer Fire Department will begin hosting its Intro to Firefighting class beginning March 7th through April 18th. These classes will run every Saturday, 8 to 5, and it's a great opportunity to learn the ins and outs of firefighting. Contact Chief Bird or Ryan Weldy or call the station at 907-772-3355 for more information. Tim Keeneman will celebrate his 50th year in the Petersburg Volunteer Fire Department in March. This is a major milestone, and Tim is the only third person to ever do so. Please join us in congratulating him. There'll be a port security meeting in the assembly chambers on April 15th at 9, and our new gymnasium schedule posted on Facebook, website, and around the community center. Keep an eye out for added gym and swim times during spring break. That's it. Lester's questions.
Any questions for the manager? No? Hearing none? I'll move on here to unfinished business. There's one item today under unfinished business. It's ordinance 2026-04, an ordinance amending the official zoning map for Service Area 1 of the Petersburg Borough to Zone A parcel of Borough Tideland Industrial L1 within the Marine Industrial Overlay Zone Subdistrict. This is the third reading. If adopted, this ordinance shall amend the Service Area 1 zoning map to designate a borough-owned tideland parcel as industrial within the Marine Industrial Overlay. The Planning Commission report recommended approval of the rezone, and it is attached to this report. Ordinance 2026-04 was unanimously approved in its first and second readings. Do I have a motion to approve this ordinance?
I make a motion to approve ordinance 2026-04 as presented.
Second.
Okay. Moved by Member Newman, seconded by Member Schwartz. Discussion. Okay, hearing none, would the clerk please call the roll?
Vice Mayor Stan Gregor?
Yes.
Member Martin?
Yes.
Member Valentine?
Yes.
Member Newman?
Yes.
Member Schwartz?
Yes.
Member Mucci?
Jeff, you yes. Go ahead.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Okay, Mayor Lynn. Thank you. Yes. And with that, that motion is approved 7-0. I'll move on to new business. Under new business, we have two items. Resolution 2026-03, accident agreement for public safety equipment. Chief Quare requests an approval of Resolution 2026-03 authorizing an agreement with Axon Enterprise, Inc. for body-worn cameras, Taser 10 devices, in-car camera systems, digital evidence storage, training, and related software services in an amount not to exceed $378,897.58 over a 10-year term, with annual payments subject to appropriation. A memo from Chief Kerr is attached to this agenda item. And I would add that really what we're talking about for this year is about $37,880 of the total. And with that, do I have a motion to approve Resolution 2026-03?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. I've been moved by Member Stan Gregor, seconded by Member Valentine. Discussion. Member Stan Gregor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And thank you, Chief Kerr, for getting this before us. I think it's a very good value over the 10 years. As many pieces I like to it, I think the increased use of both camera and body cam technology is excellent. It protects our officers and civilians alike. It is great for accountability, and thank you for getting this before us.
Other questions from assembly members?
Does Chief Kerr want to speak to this?
I can if you. So, again, this we have this stuff in use right now, and what it usually we pay yearly on this stuff, and they approached us with a 10-year contract. Usually they're 5-year contracts. And so instead of having 3 individual contracts, they actually offered to combine it into one, extend it out for 10 years. And so that's why this is going before you guys. We pay for it every year. And this is actually, some of the stuff that they're including in this as part of it is actually really beneficial. The Taser 10s as part of this contract is a really good deal. Currently our Tasers, you have 2 chances when you go to use a Taser on someone. And with this, with the Taser 10, you actually have 10 individual chances. So you have to get 2 of them to connect it to make the Taser work. So it provides a really good, less lethal option. And then some of the other stuff is the technology refresh as part of this. Battery lives, they only last so long. So the batteries and the rechargeable batteries in the body camera, they start to degrade over time. But as part of this contract, we'll get technology refreshes along the way, same as with the Taser, same as with the in-car cameras, so that we stay up to date, so that the batteries will stay charged for a full shift and we don't have to worry about trying to recharge mid-shift. And part of this contract with it is if they have a new technology that comes out, since we have the technology refresh as part of this, we get that new technology. So I think this 10-year contract is in the borough's best interest to lock in pricing so we're not subject to future increases.
Thank you. And for any listeners, compliance is better than getting tased.
10 times.
From firsthand experience. Thank you.
Any other questions from assembly members? Before the meeting, I asked Chief Kerr a number of questions on the part of it related to AI and whether or not we had sufficient controls in place that would protect, you know, both the officers and the public, whoever it might be. And if you want to address that for just a minute, I'd appreciate it.
Okay. So the AI-assisted report writing that it has along with it, what it does, it's not like your regular AI that you can just type in something and get it to create some. It's not going to do that. What this AI assisted report writing does is it actually helps pull out information from the video and help the officers with the reports. So it's actually going to get more accurate because it'll help take out human error. And we want to make sure that that stuff is 100% accurate. And so that's why if it pulls it, part of the report writing process that this stuff uses is I can change the amount of information they have to change. Right now it's currently at 20%, where they have to add in 20% of it. It also adds in sentences that didn't happen, and that they're obvious. Like one of them I read was, upon the officer's arrival, they found 2 gnomes fighting. We all know that that's not correct. But what it does is it inserts these things that are totally obvious, but they have to read it. They have to change the percentage of wording. And then if they don't catch every single one, they have to reread it until they find them all. And they are not allowed, it won't allow them to copy that report and put it as the official report until all that stuff is completed.
I think the only thing that you and I talked about is that you yourself have more, you can put more controls on it if needed.
Yeah, we can add in more, we can make it least restrictive, but I think right now is at a pretty good level where they have to check it. Plus then once the officer submits it, once they've done all their corrections to it and added in all the additional information, then it goes to the sergeant, who then reads it again, checks it. And then from there, it goes to the captain before it goes off to the prosecutors or public for requests or anything.
Thank you. Other questions for the chief? Okay, would the clerk please call the roll?
Yes.
Jeff Meachie votes yes.
Sorry.
That's okay. We'll write you first. Okay, Member Schwartz?
Yes.
Mayor Lynn?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Stanton Gregor?
Yes.
Member Martin?
Yes.
Member Valentine?
Yes.
Member Newman?
With that, that passes 7-0 on the accident agreement for public safety equipment.